Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of the American Nightmare Podcast. This is episode 94, recorded January 30th, 2026. Nice. Now, what did you have as your name there? Jack Strap?
Jacques Strap.
Jacques Strap. Yeah, I'm being creative with my names every month.
I had French. That's how I knew it was Jacques. Uh-huh. Jacques.
Jacques Strap. All right. Man,
Happy New
it
Year.
Is, yeah, it is a Happy New Year. And we are at the end of January, the beginning of 2026. Time flies when you're not having fun.
Fuck this snow, man.
All right, let's get started with some news right away. Lee Cronin's The Mummy has released a teaser trailer.
Has it?
Yes.
Yes.
Haven't seen it yet. Yes!
Yeah, and at the bottom of the video, it has some text here, and I'll read it. Some things are meant to stay buried. Lee Cronin's The Mummy, only in theaters, April 17th, 2026.
It looks good.
Hot off the record-setting Resurrection of Evil Dead Rise, writer-director Lee Cronin turns to one of the most iconic horror stories of all time with an audacious and twisted retelling. Lee Cronin's The Mummy. The young daughter of journalists disappears in the desert without a trace. 8 years later, the broken family is shocked when she is returned to them. As what should be joyful reunion turns into a living nightmare. The film stars Jack Reiner, Jack Reiner, Leah Costa, Mae Calloway, Natalie Grace, and Veronica Falcon. Hmm. Film is written and directed by Lee Cronin and produced by James Wan, Jason Blum, and John Kenville. Executive producers Michael Clear, Judson Scott, McCardiff Keller, and Lee Cronin. Released by New Line Cinema, Atomic Monster, and Blumhouse present a wicked good production Lee Cronin film, Lee Cronin's The Mummy, will be available in IMAX April 17, 2026.
Might go see that in IMAX.
Yeah, might be good. Might be good. All right. The Devil's Advocate is getting a 4K Ultra HD release courtesy of Shout Factory. Nice. And Scream Factory.
Good to see some Charlize in 4K, huh?
Fantastic film, and this is going to include the director's cut, which I don't know if you guys have ever seen it. Fantastic.
No.
The director's cut, I wish, is the one that went to theaters, but hey. The 4K transfer from 35mm original camera negatives. It's going to be transferred and presented in Dolby Digital. It's going to have audio commentary by director Taylor Hackford and audio commentary... Why does it say that twice? Deleted scenes, theatrical trailer, blah, blah, blah. I pre-ordered it already.
It was a great movie.
It is a great movie. I love it. Love it, love it, love it. According to Variety Exclusive, Snoop Dogg is going to star in Don't Go In That House, Bitch.
Nice. They're really making a movie out of that, huh?
Yes, they are. Nice. Yes,
they are. That trailer was great.
We knew they were going to do that, right?
That trailer was fun, so...
Snoop Dogg is going to star in Eli Roth's haunted house movie, Don't Go In That House, Bitch. Snoop Dogg is ready to go in the house. As previously reported, the rapper teamed up with Eli Roth for his upcoming horror movie, Don't Go In That House, Bitch, as a producer of the film, as well as the soundtrack. Nice. But now it comes out that Eli Roth is going to have Snoop Dogg star in the movie.
Awesome.
According to Eli Roth, Snoop's been waiting to do Death Row films for a long time. Roth told the interview on Thursday. I said that we need to make the ultimate haunted house movie, like the craziest one. Something that mixes House by the Cemetery, House Who, and Friday the 13th. Like something so insane, people can't believe it exists. And we're going to call it don't go in that house, bitch.
Oh, man, that sounds like it's going to be great.
And he said, I want to star in it. And I said, okay.
Nice.
Yeah, that fake trailer was pretty great.
And then, it was. It was really good.
Yeah. It's a new trend now with Eli Roth. Make a fake trailer, and if it goes crazy, then you make a real film out of it.
Yep.
Yeah, so I'm excited to see that one. There's no other information as to when it's going to come out or what else it's all going to be, but it sounds pretty good to me. If you mix House by the Cemetery, Friday 13th,
Snoop Dogg,
make a movie out of it, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun.
According to Deadline, they are casting another Evil Dead movie. What?
Besides the two that we already know about?
Well, there's one, right? Evil Dead Burn, which comes out this July, right? Yeah,
yeah. Right, but I thought there was definitely two in the works.
Okay, well then, here's the other one. They're casting it.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
So, according to Deadline, Charlotte Hope, Jessica McName, Zach Guilford, and four others are set for the next Evil Dead movie from Francis Gallupi. Gallupi. It's currently an untitled Evil Dead film, and it's been kept under wraps. So apparently Gallupi will direct from his own script. The New Line Cinema Sony Pictures is co-financing on the heels of Evil Dead Burn and the breakout success of Evil Dead Rise, the installment from Lee Cronin, which grossed $147 million worldwide. Longtime franchise producer Rob Tappert is producing alongside the series creator Sam Raimi, with Rommel Adam, Chris Kanz, and Lee Cronin executive producing alongside Bruce Campbell, who has played Ash in various projects across the horror franchise. Nice. Exciting.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Exciting. I remember there was going to be a second one, but this is the newest information on it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm so happy that that we're seeing this massive revival of the Evil Dead franchise since the 2013 one that I thought was great.
Yeah, same here. I really like that a lot. Plus, there's still that talk about them bringing back Ash vs. Evil Dead as an animated series. I think that had some like legs to it last year, which I would love to see.
I haven't really heard much about that, but I mean, that would be cool. On to our next story. That Zach Cregger's Resident Evil reboot is a new origin story of the games. Hmm. According to an interview on Screen Rant with Callie Reese, who's the star of the new Resident Evil film. In an interview with Screen Rant, Ash crossed in for the upcoming... For an interview with Screen Rant's Ash Croshen for the upcoming sci-fi action movie Mercy, Reese offered some insight into Cregger's approach on his Resident Evil adaptation, praising the reboot as being a continuation of great filmmaking that he has displayed in prior projects. The star went on to tease that the film will have his version of the game's origin story rather than a direct translation of Raccoon City's tragedies. Quote, I will say, from Resident Evil fans, especially ones who are gamers, his crack at the original story, his version of this, is amazing. I think you guys are going to be blown away by this, by his imagination, his ideas, his kind of comedic kind of journey through this crazy wild time in Resident Evil story. I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised.
Nice.
I'm not a fan of the Resident Evil. I'm not even the games. I don't like them.
I liked the first game that came out, man. It just like blew my mind.
Yes, I agree with that. The first game was really groundbreaking. Yeah. Yeah.
Scared the shit out of me watching. Like I wasn't even playing. I was watching my friend play it.
Yeah. Yeah. And even the first Resident Evil game with Mila Jovovich was...
I didn't think it was bad. Good. Yeah,
I mean, it wasn't a great adaptation, but it was good. I thought it was decent.
I agree. I don't think I've seen any of the other ones since then.
No, neither have I. but yeah, so hey, Zach Cregger, man, come on.
Yeah.
All right. According to a post on X from Ralph Ennison, Robert Eggers' Werewolf has wrapped filming.
Nice.
He posted a picture of a sign that says Werewolf Wrap Party. And he says, that was fun, as the comment. So, hey, He brought on a lot of the cast. We talked about this last month. He's brought on a lot of cast from the Nosferatu film.
Which?
So interesting.
How about anybody from Witch? The Witch?
Yeah.
He always brings it. He always brings that guy. What's his name?
Ralph.
Yeah.
Ralph.
Yeah.
Ralph. Ralph Mouth.
The guy with the really deep voice.
Yeah.
What time, I was going to say, what time period is it went into the werewolf?
I don't know. I don't see a lot of details about it, but I'm excited to see it.
I think I remember seeing stills from it, and it looks like it's an older one.
He always does those 17th century.
It's kind of funny how there's this revival of the
Gothic
horror. The classic monsters, right? Because we got the mummy, we got Nosferatu as Dracula, we got the werewolf, there's this timelessness, this universality of the horrors that are those classic monsters from Universal Pictures.
Yep. Invisible Man.
Invisible Man. Fucking great. All right. The movie Whistle has now released some character posters ahead of its debut in theaters next Friday. Blood Disgusting posted an article with photos of each of the cast members that are going to be posters in theaters. Should be pretty cool.
Anyone we know?
I'm trying to think of the actress names. Daphne Keene, X-23. Mm. She's in it. I'm trying to think what the other there's a girl from Yellow Jackets in there too.
Okay.
Sophie Nealis. Sophie Nealis. She's like a redhead. I can't remember what character she plays in.
Is she the one with the scar on her face? No.
She was a redhead.
Yeah,
I guess. It was the teenage kid, yeah.
Yeah.
She played one of the teenage girls in
Gotcha.
In that show. But it was really cool because I did get to see the West Coast premiere of this film Tuesday, and there's a lot of makeout scenes between her and Daphne Keene.
Which makes sense.
Well, she does play a lesbian in Yellow Jackets too.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll just say it was
okay, nice.
Very nice.
Very nice. Yeah.
You like.
You should go see it. It's a good. That film is a good film. It's one of those films that's like a high school horror film, but it's like.
I like those.
Yeah, but it's really good. I liked it a lot.
Okay.
Great kill scenes. Just, definitely if you're a horror fan, go see it in theaters because it's good.
Okay. I'd like to go see Sam Raimi. What's the one?
Send Help.
Send Help.
Yeah.
I think we're gonna go to the theater.
I might go see it this weekend because it really looks good.
Yeah, I'm gonna go. I think I got shit going on this weekend. I think Kim and I might go next weekend to see it. Be my first horror of the year.
Next story: Faces of Death remake finally gets a teaser trailer. We talked about this 3 years ago on that there were rumors and casting and all that stuff, and I thought, well, maybe this film's never going to come out because it's been 3 years. But guess what? There's a teaser, and it comes out April 10th. The funny thing is, the greatest advertisement you could ever ask for.
Yep.
They post a teaser trailer, and it gets banned from YouTube.
Yep.
If you try to click the link to watch it, you can't. This video has been removed
for violating
YouTube's terms of service.
And it is people talking, yeah.
They probably paid YouTube to do that.
They did that on purpose because they sort of marketed it like that the first time too, right?
Yeah. It's a snuff film and,
It's brilliant advertising, if you ask me. Brilliant. Because all the kids are going to be like, what?
Yeah.
What?
Well, it's like we were back in the day when, you heard it, someone saw it, wait, dude, you saw that movie?
Yeah.
I thought that was banned. Where'd you see it at?
I thought that wasn't available in the United States. What?
Yeah. My friend's cousin's got a copy of it. We're gonna watch it next weekend.
Dude, I found a copy in my dad's closet. Let's watch it.
Found a few videos in my dad's closet. Hey now.
Just don't view the ones under the bed.
The homemade ones.
All right. The next story. Let's see. Hold on. The fuck? My notes are really bad, dude. I'm really bad at this whole note-taking thing. I try. I'm trying to be professional about this
stuff.
Were you
high when you wrote your notes?
No, I wasn't.
All right, maybe you should have been.
It's a problem.
Diane Lane joins Scarlett Johansson in Mike Flanagan's new Exorcist movie.
Ooh, Diane Lane and Scarlett Johansson. Nice.
Yes. According to Deadline exclusive, Diane Lane has closed the deal to star alongside Scarlett Johansson and Jacoby Juppé in the next installment of the iconic horror franchise, The Exorcist, from filmmaker Mike Flanagan. No word on the role that Lane will play. The plot details are being kept under wraps. What's known is that the film will tell an all-new story in the Exorcist universe and not a sequel to that shitty 2023 Exorcist Believer.
Haven't seen that one yet. After hearing the reviews about it, I just decided not to watch it.
Yep. Absolute fucking garbage. Yep. If I do say so myself. All right, that is the hard news that I have. Anything from you fellas?
There was that trailer I sent you all today, that doll, that Shudder exclusive.
The Shudder exclusive doll. That's right.
That looked like it was pretty
fucking insane.
It's like a 70s,
pretty freaking kinda creepy.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that.
Actually, even like some of the filters on the video made it look a little bit like
Grindhouse
in a violent nature.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
I think that's an April release. I think that said.
Yep.
Nice.
That's all right.
Fantasmic. All right, next. We got 5 flicks to watch on a streaming service.
So I was looking through what we had done recently, and I was trying to find something different. So I did 5
Good luck
movies
with that. Oh.
Well, I did 5 movies to watch on Stars, which I currently have because I re-upped. Stars comes with a package now, with like, I think HBO and maybe Showtime. Anyway, it was like for like 6 months for like $12.99 or some shit like that. So that said, when I set my mind to choosing Stars, I started looking at the movies that were on Stars, and they don't have a lot of good quality horror on Stars.
Like Apple.
But I did find some good ones. So here they are, 5 movies to watch on Stars. If you have Stars and are looking for a horror movie, here you go. The Long Walk, which I have not seen myself yet. I've heard good reviews about that movie and plan on watching it sometime shortly.
Fantastic film.
Yep.
Fantastic.
And it's on Stars, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Your next, the 2013 Home Invasion movie, was a phenomenal film. I don't know
good.
If anyone...
Yeah, no, it was good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't watch it. Didn't
I
watch
like good home invasion films, and this was a good one.
Yep.
This one's been on a lot of my list for one reason or another. Tales from the Crypt, Demon Knight. Just a big fan of that that movie. It's fun.
Was Dennis Miller in that one?
No, he was in the second one, Bordello of Blood.
Bordello of Blood.
Yeah. That was Dennis Miller and what's his name? Corey Feldman was in that one too. Night of the Living Dead, the 1968 classic black and white horror film, is currently on Stars. So that's a good if you're looking to watch some classics. And Haunt, which is a 2019 movie about extreme haunted
good.
House.
It's very good.
Yeah. So there are a few good ones on Stars. Not a lot, but if you have it and are looking for horror, those are some ones for you to check out.
Very nice. Very nice.
Very nice.
All right. Next, we have our top 5.
10.
But this month, it is the top 10. Top 10 favorite horror films from 2025.
And even 10 was hard.
Yeah, what a year it was, man.
Even 10 was hard. Like, I had so many, and I was like, man. And I didn't do honorable mentions because we're doing 10 movies. So,
no honorable mentions, just 10 outright.
And it sucks, now, like I said, because there were so many good ones.
Now, what I'd like to say here is 2025 has been a great year for horror. And we mentioned this last month.
Yep.
Great year for horror in reality and a great year for horror and fiction.
And it got probably more nods for awards than any other year too, right?
Sinners, like most Oscar weapons, nominations.
Weapons. She got a, was it a Golden Globe?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And Gladys. Yep.
You know, the one thing that bummed me out, though, is the Golden Globes. You know who? You know what movie got the most nominations in history at the Golden Globes this year? One Battle After Another.
I haven't seen it yet. I heard it's a good movie.
Fantastic film, but I was hoping it would be Sinners, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get started. This month, it is Sal, Chris Craig.
All right.
My number 10 favorite horror film of 2025, Ugly Stepsister.
All right.
We've mentioned last month, the sound design was impeccable.
Yep.
The absolute disgusting things that happen in there is insane. I even talked my sister into watching it because I'm like, it's a movie you gotta see.
And it was a good retelling of the story that you knew already, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
And the good shot from behind was nice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Prosthetic. Do we think that's a prosthetic, right?
For sure. Had to be.
Yeah.
you got to apply the prosthetic though. This is my
hair and makeup.
Yeah,
that's right.
Sign me up.
Number 9, my 9th favorite film of 2025, The Gorge.
Oh, I didn't see it.
Didn't see that one.
Nope.
Saw the premiere in a theater, and then it's like the only
horror movie on Apple TV.
Was that an Apple movie?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I have Apple TV now though, so maybe I'll watch it.
Is directed by Scott Derrickson, who did a lot of great horror films.
That's kind of a monster, right?
Yeah.
Creature.
My number 8, Good Boy.
Okay.
That's a good movie.
There's two Good Boy movies, by the way. I saw both.
Yeah, I know.
I saw both of them.
I did not.
I only saw the one.
My number 7, Frankenstein.
Right.
The Netflix movie.
Yep.
The Netflix movie. That is correct. The Guillermo del Toro film, which was fucking, again, that guy makes amazing films.
He does. I mean, he's a great storyteller and his cinematography.
About him too. That was on
the visuals, the practical effects.
Yep.
Like he focuses so well on really good practical effects.
Yep.
My number 6. Companion.
Mm-hmm. From early 2025. I almost forgot about that movie.
And the funny thing is, I saw it in 2024, and it actually came out in February of 2025, but I got to see the early screening of it.
It was a fun film.
Yeah. My number 5, The Long Walk.
Oh, yeah.
I want to watch it. I haven't seen it yet.
Yep.
Craig, did you see it?
I did.
Yep. Listen, it brought tears to my eyes, man. Yeah. It was tough. It was tough to watch.
I kind of saw it coming, but
I remember the book. I mean, the book like was a hard read.
Yeah. It was tough to watch, bro.
Yep.
My number 4, Bring Her Back.
Yep.
The scene where that kid is chewing on the knife.
Oh, dude. That kid was a freak. It was the year of like creepy old ladies in movies too. Yeah.
It definitely was. It definitely was. Speaking of creepy old ladies, my number 3 is Weapons. That film again, man.
It was a fun film too.
It was fun. Especially my favorite part is those kids fucking tear her apart at the end.
That was awesome when they were chasing her down through the houses and shit. And you know, that was awesome.
Be a busting through doors and. Not yep. Karen.
My number 2, Osgood Perkins, The Monkey.
Yeah.
That was a fun movie. There's a lot of fun films this year, for sure.
Yeah. And my number 1, Sinners.
That's surprising.
Yeah. Like you would have guessed anything other than that. Like I said, when I picked it as number 1 last time, saw it in the theaters 4 times, saw it on Blu-ray, you know, I talked everyone in to go in and see it.
I have people that I know that aren't horror movie fans that have seen it and have enjoyed it.
It's a great film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, Chris? it's not a traditional horror by any means, right?
No, not at all.
It's a theater movie.
There's those people on like the social media like horror sites that like are like, it's not a horror movie. I'm like, dude, it's a horror movie.
Vampire, man. Remick, Remick was fucking terrifying, man.
Dude, and there was a lot of blood and guts in it, and like it's a fucking horror movie. Like it is. People suck.
And
a lot of good practical effects. I saw on the DVD or the Blu-ray behind the scenes, they show Remick with the silver piece from the guitar in his head. That was all practical. The makeup and shit, his fingers.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
And I like that I went to see it in IMAX too. Like, I'm glad I saw it in IMAX because you just felt the music and it definitely made it an experience. Yep. All right. So my top 10. My number 10, The Ugly Stepsister, which is weird because that's funny that yours was the number 10. My number 7, VHS Halloween.
It was pretty good.
That one almost made my list. It did not make my list, but
it was really good. Number 9. Yeah, sorry, number 9.
That was my big surprise of the year, was the VHS Halloween.
I just watched it on a whim because it was Halloween.
It was scary.
It was scary, and they tied them all together really well. And that one about the candy factory was fucking weird and fun. Like it was really good.
Yep.
My number 8, Companion. It was a fun movie. My number 7, The Monkey. It was hard to put these in spots too, because like there was so much good shit out, and separating one from the other was a thin line. My number 6, Dangerous Animals. I really liked that movie. That was the one about the guy who like was feeding chicks to sharks.
Yeah, it's on Shudder.
Yeah,
it was very suspenseful. Right? Like it was like a Jaws kind of movie, but like with a serial killer. I really enjoyed that a lot. Number 5, Bring Her Back. Just was a great movie. Number 4, Weapons. we're getting to the top 3. My number 3, Alien Earth. I loved that show. I know, like it was just like each week I couldn't wait to watch another episode. Like it was really done well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And considering like the previous Alien movie, I thought was okay. Like I wasn't as big a fan.
Isolation?
As you were. Yeah, it was okay.
I'd love that movie.
I know you guys liked it a lot. It wasn't my favorite, but this really brought me back, and I loved Alien Earth. I thought it was and I can't wait for the second season.
Yeah.
Number 2 for me was Frankenstein. I thought it was amazing. Like
really well done. Yeah.
It was really well done, and it could have been my number 1 if it wasn't for Sinners, which is my number 1.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen it 4 times now too, and I tell people, I'm like, dude, if you see Sinners, even if you're not a horror fan, it's a great movie. It's a great period piece, great music, great acting. It's just a phenomenal film.
Yep.
So that's my top 10. Look, a few different ones, a lot of the same ones in different spots, but you know.
Yep. Okay. I think I might have one or two on here that you guys didn't have, which is nice. Good. Number 10, I had Frankenstein.
Nice. It's a good movie.
It's a good movie.
Can't say too many good things about it. I really enjoyed it. Yeah. I liked it better than last year's Nosferatu.
Yes. No, I agree.
I agree.
Because that's not on anybody's list. Right? Yeah. So obviously, we all enjoyed that one better than Nosferatu. Yeah, I was so disappointed.
To me, it was the same story. Like they didn't like. I mean, how do you like Frankenstein was a fresh take on the story
like the way
of Frankenstein.
He looked. It wasn't.
Yeah, bad. He's kind of gross looking, but
a rotten porn star,
like a carny, like a carny.
Seriously, that's what.
I was thinking like a rotten carny, but porn star is good too.
Yeah, no, exactly. Okay, number 9. You guys didn't have this one on Black Phone number 2.
I haven't seen it yet.
Good flick.
They did another Scott Derrickson film.
Yeah, they did a really nice job with it.
Better than the first one, you guys said, right?
I thought it was about as good.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. So someone told me that it was better than the first one. Maybe it wasn't.
Another one that you guys didn't have, number eight was Together.
Haven't seen that one either.
Watched it yet. It's haven't good. Watched it yet.
It's yeah, same here.
I see it's on Hulu right now, so I might Is it? I might check nice. It out. Yeah.
Yep. It's a goodie. It's a goodie. Number seven, I had Ugly Stepsister.
Great fun film. Mm-hmm.
I think that one was early in the year too, right? That was like one of the first ones that popped out.
Maybe like April? Yeah. April, May, maybe?
June. We watched it in June. Oh, really? So,
wow.
Okay. Yeah. And we gave it 4 stars, though. I mean, hey, it was a good film.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. For sure. Number six, I had The Long Walk.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Haven't seen it yet.
Excellent movie.
Yeah.
Excellent.
It was total Stephen King too while you're watching it. It's just you could tell it was a Stephen King.
You get that
King.
Vibe?
Yeah, oh yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
Number five, Bring Her Back. Bring Her yep. Back. Love the effects in that movie.
That was oh great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Biting the countertop, yep. Eating the knife. Like, there's some fucking scenes in there that yeah. are just...
Oof. Yep. What am I on? Number four. I went with Companion.
Nice.
Yep. Number three, Sinners.
Nice.
Nice.
Again, I liked it. Not my number one.
I mean, that's fine.
Number two, The Monkey.
Yeah.
That one just, I don't know. It had a little bit of everything.
My favorite scene of that was when like she goes to jump in the pool.
Yeah.
And it just explodes. Just into
front,
like
in front to back, it was nonstop.
Yeah.
Fun.
Listen, scary, Osgood Perkins.
Yeah.
Osgood Perkins did Long Legs, The Monkey, and Keeper. I don't know if you guys have seen Keeper.
I'm halfway in The Keeper. Yeah, I started it late last night, and I didn't get to finish. I got tired. I was falling asleep.
Is that available free streaming? Or
no.
No? It's rental?
Yeah.
Okay.
And number one was Weapons.
Nice. 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 Weapons number one.
For me.
Wow. That's awesome. It was a great film.
There wasn't a whole lot that separated one film from the next for me when you got to the top few.
Yeah.
Wow.
Great year for films.
What a year. What a freaking year.
And I had quite a few that could have made the list, but they just were edged out by something else. Like, quite a few.
Yeah, and there were a couple that I watched that really weren't horror films that I was like, yeah, it was great. Like The Running Man, the new Running Man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not a horror film, though. It was more of an action film.
They considered the original one, probably because it's a Stephen King. Right. That's why they sort of label it horror.
But even like the Final Destination Bloodlines, I really liked the movie. It was a fun movie.
So do we have anything? I'm trying to think. It's early into the year. We really haven't had. Do we have anything horror for 2026? Nothing's in the theaters or anything right now, right?
Send Help, I think.
Send Help is out right now. I think there's a couple things out right now. There's that video game adaptation, Iron Lung.
Oh, The Whistle. You're talking about The Whistle, right?
Yeah, The Whistle. Then Iron Lung is a video game adaptation that's really good.
Yep.
I've heard good things about it. Let's say I haven't watched it yet. I'm trying to think. Is there something else out right now?
Yeah, what are we anticipating seeing?
I don't know if there's anything else out right now.
It might be a slow year.
No, it's going to be. It'll be a big year.
Last year started out kind of slow, too.
Yeah.
And think, over the last month, they were dumping a ton of great films. Like the new Predator.
Oh, Badlands. Yeah.
That was fucking great. I love that film. It was really good.
Yeah, I think it started. Yeah. We started off slow last year too.
Yeah, I mean that's the way it kind of goes. There's a slow trickle of films. Silent Hill, the new Silent Hill is out. Wait for it to come out on streaming.
I was gonna say, I thought I heard some bad reviews about that.
I went to see it and
disappointed.
Yeah. Right now in theaters, you got Send Help, Iron Lung, Return to Silent Hill, 20 Years Later, The Bone Temple. Primate,
Yeah, I don't. Primate's not doing it for me. I don't.
Melania.
Melania, that's a horror movie amongst itself. Yeah.
I've heard a lot of it's so bad. A lot of people are walking out or throwing up in their official Melania popcorn box.
Melania popcorn box.
They do have those.
That's fucking great.
Yeah, they do have those.
The name of that movie should have been Make Fuck Get Green Card. It's like that. You remember, what is it? The Clerks film?
Oh, yeah. Did he say making fuck?
Would you like to make fuck berserker?
Did he say making fuck?
Yeah.
The new Scream's coming out, I guess.
Yeah. I want to see that one, too.
Oh, Scream 7.
Scream 7. About the Mummy.
Lee Cronin's The Mummy. We got Faces of Death.
We might.
Evil Dead Burn.
Evil Dead Burn.
They Will Kill You. Psycho.
There's
Killer.
A remake of Arachnophobia or something coming out too that I saw.
Yeah, advertised. When the fuck is that? We talked about Arachnophobia for like the last 3 years too, and that like still hasn't come out.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's move on to our review. So the review this month is the Coraline Coraline Farget. Revenge from 2017. This film, the synopsis, Jen is enjoying a romantic getaway with her wealthy boyfriend until he has his two sleazy friends arrive for an unannounced hunting trip. As tensions mount in the house, the situation abruptly and viciously intensifies, culminating to a shocking act that leaves Jen left for dead. Yep. Unfortunately for her assailants, she survives. And soon begins a relentless quest for bloody revenge. Directed by Coraline Farget.
Yep.
I don't know. She's French. Uh-huh. I can't. Produced by Mark Antoine Schwartz. Mark something, something, something. Screenwriter Coraline Farget. Distributed by Neon Pictures in the U.S. Production company is MES Productions, Nexus Factory, Monkey Pack Films, and New Media. Rated R for drug use, rape, strong bloody violence, graphic nudity, language, and sexuality. The genre is a mystery thriller horror, and the original language is English. It was released in theaters very limited on May 11th, 2018, and then released to streaming May 13th, 2018. Because of that very limited box office run, it only made $100,000.
Wow.
The runtime is an hour and 48 minutes. This is the film that got her the budget to do The Substance.
Yeah. You could see her. You could definitely tell when you're watching it that it's her movie. You know, there's a lot of similarities.
The style. You see the style.
And even the music, like the soundtrack is very similar to what she used in
the music, the way she cuts the cut scenes, the close-ups, the sound design. My God, the sound design.
And even the theme, like the theme to it too is you know, women's role in society and oppressive men and, you know.
Women subjugated, men are bad. There is a particular scene in that film that reminds me of The Substance. Remember the scene in The Substance where the agent or the guy is sitting at the table
eating the shrimp?
Yeah.
And then that fat guy is eating
that chocolate and it's like slow motion.
And you can see it. Like, yeah, you can see the pieces changing, like in the nougat, like oozing. Yeah.
And you see his tongue come out. And
wasn't that like the lizard? Cut off as like a predator or something like that, too, like the lizard or something.
But it's one of those things where it's like, She really doesn't like men because when she makes the men look like the most disgusting evil bastards that they are in this film.
Well,
amps it up.
They definitely were.
They were fucking evil for sure. But man, what a scene that was. I was like, damn, that fucking chewing on chocolate made it fucking gross.
Yep. That's the first thing I think is like, this guy's gross. You know what I mean?
She's great with like her body horror is top notch. Like she definitely gives you like stuff that makes you like cringe when you're watching it.
Now, we're going to get into a spoilery review, so I don't, if you didn't watch it and you want to watch it, maybe take a break.
Yeah, go watch
it. Go watch it. Come back and listen to what we have to say about it. But you're warned now. We're going to talk spoilery. So this film, I saw it a couple of years ago.
I did too. I didn't realize it until I'm watching it. I'm like, I think I've seen this before. Yeah.
But it was I watched it on Shudder a while back. I was going to pull it out for one of our podcast reviews, but it just kept sitting, and I was like, "Yeah,
yeah." So, I seen the film. This is the film that made me go, "Oh yeah, I want to see
The Substance."
But man, what a graphic film. The good thing is, you know, I was reading a little bit about it, that she was inspired a little bit by Spit on Your Grave. The good news is
they didn't
show all the graphic rape scene that was in Spit on Your Grave.
And there was no members being cut off in this one.
Yeah.
But it was a great film. I really enjoyed this film. There's a lot of high tension in the film.
Yeah, especially like the ending. And there was that, again, that sound, like when, like, he's chasing her and they're going around in circles, and you hear that, it's like a sound just going, woo, 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 woo.
Yeah, they kind of put you on edge to begin. Yeah, it helps to build that tension in you.
Yep.
And the amount of blood in that final scene.
Oh, yeah, all over the place, slipping on it.
So that's my one issue with the film.
It got a little out of hand, especially when she put the eagle on her. It's like, oh boy.
Well, there are some issues with believability for some of those.
That's
things.
That's exactly it. Like, there was a whole lot about the film I loved. I thought the scenes were great. The view from his place there in the desert was awesome. There was a lot of good stuff about that. But my only problem was the believability. Like, she fell on that fucking tree and lost a lot of fucking blood, a lot of blood, and still somehow got up. And man, in the desert, no food, drank like a half a beer and ate some peyote. That was the only sustenance she had for basically 3 days out in the desert.
Yeah.
And she lost a shit ton of blood and was going around like she was fucking Rambo and shit. And I'm like, I liked the movie, but there was like a lot of suspension of disbelief for some of that shit.
The one thing about that I felt, it was somewhat believable, okay? You can have something jammed through your body, and as long as you don't pull it out, you could theoretically.
She lost a lot of blood, though. There's a lot.
But that's
of
the thing. She shouldn't have lost that much blood because that thing was stuck in her. It was.
But she did.
Right. That's the thing. She did lose the blood, and then when she pulled it out, I go, "Well, that's she dies there, right?" But no, she somehow found a piece of aluminum can and made it hot enough to cauterize the wound.
She only cauterized the front. She never touched the back. Like, I'm like, well, she never even cauterized the back.
Well, I think she did because they showed the back of her, which is nice.
Well, it was burnt because the tree was on fire.
Oh, okay. I got you. Well, maybe
the tree burned her. Remember the. And they didn't explain that very much either.
Maybe it cauterized the wound in the back. I don't know.
I don't know.
Because you never saw, like, maybe the branch wasn't sticking out the back. I don't know.
Anyway, I was like, all right, let me just forget about that. That's fine. You know, it's movie magic.
It's a horror film.
And then you get to the end, and then she's fighting that fucking douchebag. And he's dick
flopping around.
But he's literally gushing blood. Like, he should have fucking passed out while he was waiting there.
That whole house is covered in blood. There's like just puddles on the floor. It's on the wall. It's everywhere. Yeah. And he's still sprinting around there. Like, and he also had nothing to eat or drink for basically 3 days either. And they're out in the desert. Like,
in the desert.
Yeah.
And then he wraps himself with cellophane and all of a sudden he's okay.
I mean, there was some parts of that movie that, like, I just, like, okay, like.
Plus, did you see the wound in him when he got shot with that shotgun? He put a giant hole in him.
Yeah.
He should have been dead.
That was point blank, too.
Yeah, so that's why I'm like, you know, you got to suspend belief. And then at the end, she drug it on a little bit too long with the chasing each other around in circles.
Yeah, round and around. I felt like
to see something a little more torturous too, right? Like,
yeah. Like,
Like I, yeah, my favorite, my believe it or not, my favorite, and this was the sound helped, was when she broke the flashlight and the glass.
Oh yeah,
was
and
on
he
the
stepped
ground,
on it.
And he stepped on it. Yeah, that was like my favorite. And I'm like, that's okay, that's good. You know, he's suffering a little bit, and they just didn't suffer enough, I don't think.
I agree. Like when, like again, we said earlier, it was inspired kind of by Spit on Your Grave, and there was definitely much more suffering.
Yes.
In that one than in this one. But I liked the movie. I thought it was a good movie. It just, yeah, like that, like you said, that scene where they're just running around and around and around. I felt like I was watching Family Guy. You know how Family Guy always carries stuff just a hair too far?
Yes.
Just because they want to. I'm like, okay, come on. How many fucking more times are we going to run around this fucking house?
Right. And the thing is, this is not her first film. This is like her third film. I think this film was like her third film. But you know, it was good. I don't get me wrong. The sound design was fucking phenomenal.
It was. I thought the visuals were great too.
The visuals, yep. the camera lenses made such impact with the views of the desert was pretty amazing. They filmed it in Morocco, in the Moroccan desert. Mm.
Wow.
So it was just fucking
beautiful. Yeah, it was a cool scene too in the binoculars. Like he's like looking at her mouth.
Yeah.
You know? Yes.
Yeah, that was cool. That was cool.
Yeah. And the actors were really good. Those guys played super mega creeps, man.
Yep. They did.
Like you definitely felt like, man, these guys are creeps.
Yep.
And the shitty cocky boyfriend who was like, I almost feel like the whole thing was staged because he wanted to get rid of his mistress without his wife finding out.
Yeah, he that's what I was thinking though, like that. I'm like, was this planned or wasn't it planned?
At that last scene, he kind of reminded me a little bit of Patrick Bateman from American Psycho. Like just the, you know, like covered in blood and running around and shit. Like I felt like Christian Bale, like he reminded me of Christian Bale in part of that movie.
Total nut job psycho. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a good movie. And you know, like I said, it was just some of the shit. I'm like, okay, come on. Like all of a sudden she went from being like this girl who wanted to go to LA and be an actress and get found and fucking being like Rambo.
Yeah, but I think they kind of give you the impression that the peyote turned her into Rambo. Like the peyote is like a superpower inducing.
It's like Popeye eating his spinach.
Yeah, it's like if you take peyote, you can suddenly learn how to use a shotgun and
and track fucking people. You become a tracker, and you can survive the desert heat without with just drinking half of a Mexican beer. And
yeah.
That was a cool scene too, though, when she took the peyote and like for like four times in a row, you thought she finally like was not tripping anymore, and then it was.
But it was like dream within a dream within a dream.
Yeah,
I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But when she shot the guy who was filling the gas tank, and then he's running and he runs over glass, like the practical effects and the gore that they focused in on him fucking digging in his foot to pull that glass and the
sound.
Out. Like that. That's
yeah. She does good with like, the sound. Good
yeah,
sound.
To work. Me, that's like her signature shit. Like,
and what else that is cool stuff. About that too? When he gets in the car and he's like hitting the gas pedal, the blood's going like shooting out the bottom of his foot. I thought that was kind of
again. That guy lost so much blood. Just so much blood. There's no way he's still walking.
Yeah, I know.
But hey, you know what? It was entertaining.
Fun. It was fun.
I think it was like that on purpose too. It was a little campy. Like I said, every time you hit the accelerator,
you know what? And I feel that way about The Substance too. The part with the boob falling out of the orifice and the I think that was a bunch of campiness that was kind of there on purpose.
Yeah. And the other thing that reminded me of The Substance too was in the house when they would go to that like QVC kind of show that was on. Like hawking that shit. And they really like cranked the volume up on that. And you got to hear the different things they were selling and shit. And like, they really focused on that for some reason.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure if it was just the consumerism.
You can buy from the America now. Log into mysusa.com. That's right.
Yeah.
My City USA merchandise.
Yeah, you they can really
buy
like
from America. We have so many, many things for sale.
Yeah, they didn't leave it in the background. They definitely made that part of the. Yeah, that's for a good 5 minutes of that part of the movie. Like, you like heard them talking and wait, listen, they would flash to it and shit.
With the fact that she's French and this is a French film, I'm sure that was her intentional commentary about America being disgusting.
Yeah.
Like, here's a disgusting act. By the way, America's disgusting too.
Yeah.
But it was a great film. Like, I really enjoyed it. I was entertained by it. The actors were really great. The Matilda Lutz, I think her name is, the star. Really cute and really a good actor. She had very big eyes.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what I liked about her. I think I like that.
But it really played well when she took the peyote and like they really kind of zoomed up her eyes a bit. I'm like, oh, damn.
Yeah.
She looked like a totally different girl, though. What was that?
She looked like a totally different girl from the beginning of the movie to the end of the movie. Like
she was covered in crusted blood and dirt and filth, and that her back was burnt. She had the little eagle from the can of beer was fucking weird.
And but it said Mexican beer. Like,
and throughout the whole Rambo scene, she still had on the tiny short shorts that are crawling up her ass.
Yeah.
And no shoes.
No shoes.
That was the other thing.
In the middle of a Moroccan desert.
Running through the desert for 3 days straight with no shoes on.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Again, it's part of like the director, like her thing is, I don't know. She does that objectification of women, but I think she does it to make a point about the male gaze of a woman.
You could definitely see that for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. But damn, what a great film. I thought it was really good.
Yep. I agree.
And it's one that I told my sister she should watch too. Cause I said, if you like The Substance and you like that same kind of campiness, the cut scenes, the blood, the zoom ins and the gross factor of some of the practical effects.
Yep. The rape scene's kind of rough.
It is a bit rough, especially when she was crying and looking at that other guy, like, you know, help me.
And he just closed the door and turned the TV up.
Went for a swim.
Yeah. And
I went for a little swim. All right. Let's go through our rating of this. We got Revenge. The visuals of the film.
We can do half points now, right? We're doing half. I went 4.5 for the visuals.
Yeah.
I was really impressed with the
I'm going to say 4.5. Yeah, I agree. Sound design. Again, impeccable. Loved it.
Yeah, 4.5 on that.
I gave that a 4.5 as well.
4.5. All right. Acting.
I did 3.5 for that.
I gave it 4 across the board, not to spoil anything. But
all right, I'm going to say 4 because I thought the acting was really good.
Yeah,
they're not big Hollywood actors, but they were good.
The one guy, the fat guy, like I don't know.
Well, he didn't say much. He didn't really see much of him until he gets killed. Do you think I am stupid enough to leave a bullet in my gun? No.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to say 4. Story. What do you think about the story?
So this is the only knock I gave it. And again, it wasn't the story per se. It was the believability. I gave that a 2.5.
There were some scenes that were just not believable.
Not at all. Like, and again, I really enjoyed the movie.
Like I said, I think it was on purpose, but
I'm going to give it a 3 there. So if we got 3, 4, 2.5, let's give it a 3.
Yep.
All right, the fun and fear factor. I think it was a fun film. It was definitely fun to watch.
Yeah.
There wasn't much fear in it, but it was horrific for sure.
It was fun for sure.
But it was definitely a fun
tension there in the chase scene at the end, and you know when she was getting like choked out in the water, like there was some tension, not fear per se, but tension. I gave it a 4 there.
Craig, you gave it a 4 too, right?
Correct.
All right. I'll give it a 4. And that gives us 4 stars. Wow, 4 out of 5 stars. It's our second 4-star film.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. Let us go ahead on to our Letterboxd. Let's add a film. Today we watched. All right. What the fuck? Oh, it logged me out. That's gay. All right. So our letterbox is now getting updated. Let's take a moment to do our little thank everybody for checking out our stuff, our podcast here. And as always, I know I say this all the time, but nobody seems to listen.
Fucking listen.
One of these days, exactly. We're going to get at least one person reach out to us.
You can send an email to feedback@theamerican-nightmare.com, or you can send us a voicemail, 1-562-247-5855, and tell us how shitty we are. and you can also, if you want us to play that clip on the podcast, just say, you can play this. If you don't want it played, you don't got to say anything. We won't play it. All right. Until next time, I guess.
Yeah.
Keep watching horror films.
You bet.